So good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to a fine, wonderful Sunday. So glad that you've come out this morning to worship the Lord. Catechism by John Piper. Oh, that's my title. Question number 67. What is forbidden in the fourth commandment? Very good. Very good. I'm probably going to be more political today than I normally am. I hate politics, so I'll be quite blunt. I'm not a fan of politics. I'm not a fan of politics in the church. But there are some things that are currently happening in our society, and there's a divisiveness that's currently in our society that I think God's Word has some messages for us on. My son is graduating from high school. I've told you this. Did I tell you where he's going? He accepted to Cal State Berkeley. So he's going to Cal State Berkeley. He's in an undeclared engineering program. So he is in that program that there's like 200 students and he can choose any engineering he wants to when he's ready to choose that. I'm really excited for him. Now somebody said, aren't you a little afraid of Berkeley? And they were referring to this big ugly fight we had probably a month ago with some white supremacists over here and some folks that were on this side. That side is by any means necessary. They wear those black hoods and get into a rally. And I'm just going to say this about that one thing, okay? So to my white supremacists, the only people who should be proud of their color is Crayola. The only people who should be proud of their color is Crayola. That's it. Crayola's got a brand new crayon out there. I don't know what it is. I really don't care. But honestly, God made each and every one of us exactly the way He wanted to. I'm a white guy. It's what I am. I can't change it. God made me this way. I have some black folks in my congregation at church. God made them that way. We should neither be proud of what we are, color-wise, nor should we be ashamed. It shouldn't happen. So as we look in our society, this is a piece that we shouldn't sort of allow this conversation. Well, we can allow the conversation. The conversation is never bad. But the reality is we need to bring back God into this picture. God created each and every one of us. The color that we are, the eyes that we have, the height that you are, God created. Let that settle and not be this other issue. There's another issue that's been raised in the forefront over the course of the last couple weeks. How many of you heard about healthcare? You all heard about healthcare? Okay. So healthcare is a big deal within our society right now. We had this thing that was called Obamacare, and everybody was supposed to sign up for it. Not everybody signed up for it, and there's certain costs that are associated with it and bits and pieces. But I need to share with you some things in this. Because cost is an issue. Cost is an issue. Do you know what it takes to give an addict methadone for a year to help them get off? Do you know what the cost is for 1 year? $4,700 to give methadone to an addict to remove them, try to get them off of addiction. Do you know how many addicts we have in America right now? Any idea? 20 million. 20 million people require $4,700 a year to help them get off of their addiction. Now, you don't know this, at least I don't think you know this, but about 12 years ago, I gave away a kidney. So I've got a scar on this side of me right here. I gave away a kidney. I gave that kidney to my mother-in-law. I figured my mother-in-law gave me a kid, I could give her a kidney. It was true. It's a wonderfully true story, that's something that I did. But transplants are a big cost. And I didn't have a clue as to what the costs were. But do you know that if you transplant lungs into somebody, it's $797,000 that we pay. If you transplant heart and lungs, it's $1,148,000. The liver is $577,000. And the kidney is just a paltry $262,000. Now, I'm a teacher for LAUSD. That's how I get paid. I make $80,000 a year. The federal government this year took $5,600 from me just for taxes. California state took $1,000 from taxes from me. And if you take out that 8 or 9% that we pay every time we go to the store, basically I'm left with about 50 grand. Now, to have paid for my mother-in-law's surgery, it would have cost me 7 years of my life. 7 years. There's a cost here. There's a cost here. HIV drugs, any idea how much that costs for the lifetime of an individual? $400,000. That's a lot of money. And that's the question. And everybody goes, well, you know, we have these rich folks and they should be taking care of this. We have these folks that are you know, the drug companies. We got with this. All this argument takes place. But bottom line, there's cost factors associated with every medical procedure. I have no begrudgment of somebody who is sick going to the hospital and getting taken care of. I have no begrudgment of all of that. Just understand that there are certain costs associated with it. By the way, there are many people who say that healthcare is a right. Is it really? Are you born with the right to healthcare? Are you born? Ask that of somebody in Africa. Ask that of somebody in most of South America. Ask that of somebody who is living in the forest in Alaska. Is healthcare a right? It's a great question. But I do have something from the Lord. In James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, this is God's health plan. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise, which we did today, which was wonderful. Is any of you sick? He should call for the what? When's the last time anybody called for the elders of the church? You got sick and called for the elders of the church. We don't do this. He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Our first healthcare plan for us as Christians is to pray. It is to share our need with our brothers, especially our elders in a congregation, and ask them to pray for us. It is something that we should do on a regular basis and something that I'm sure your church does. But God's healthcare plan starts with prayer. I'm not telling you not to go to the hospital. I'm not telling you not to take care of others. I firmly believe that we should. I gave a kidney to take care of my mother-in-law. By the way, I need to share one more thing with you. And this is not something that is heard when you talk about transplants. What's the average life expectancy of somebody who receives a transplant? Do you know? What do you think it is? Do you think it's a lifetime? Because it's not. It's 5 years. I lost my mother-in-law 7 years ago. Well, I gave my kidney 12 years ago, and I lost my mother-in-law 7 years ago. Transplants aren't, boom, hey, everything's magic, everything works, and it works forever. It doesn't work that way. You give somebody an opportunity to get a few more years. And that's part of what's going on in our society right now. There are so many people who have no feeling that there is something more after they're done. And when you get to the place where you don't think you're going anywhere after you die, you want to hang on to your life as long as you possibly can. But we as Christians, we as those who know the Lord, are looking forward to heaven. We shouldn't be in such a state that we're going, oh, I might die tomorrow. You might. And I don't care who you are, you might die tomorrow. There are folks within the context of our society that won't be here tomorrow. Do you know what the number one accidental cause of death is right now? Any idea? 40,000 people die a year right now because of this. Drug overdoses. You surprised? Younger generation shouldn't be surprised. Older generation's going, what? The younger generation recognizes that underneath, in their group, they are using drugs on a regular basis. And we've said it's okay in society. All you gotta do is look at the polls. It's okay to smoke pot. Can't hurt you. Why? Why are you needing to do that with your head? And for those of you who think that pot is no, well, let's just say this. Drinking is the same thing. Okay? Drinking is the same thing. You get to the same place, you're accomplishing the same goal, but 40,000 people this year in America will lose their life because they overdosed on something. Not good. A little bit of healthcare. Okay? We need to love people as much as we possibly can. Need to take care of people as much as we possibly can. Need to get to this place. But our first place for healthcare is prayer. Second thing I want to talk about politically, immigration. Immigration. And I share this sort of this way, and it kind of, to maybe understand these two sides. And then I'm going to share with you where I live on immigration. Okay, where my personal, this is where I live. Okay? But immigration has this picture to it. You have a family, you're sitting at dinner. You've got your son, your daughter, and you and your wife. You're sitting at dinner. Your son invites somebody to the dinner table. They come and eat with you. It's not a big deal, is it? You got enough to feed them, right? You feed everybody. The next day, that child comes and stays with you again because something's gone on and they can't go back home. But at the same time, they brought somebody else with them. So now you're feeding two extra mouths. The next day you have three extra mouths, four extra mouths, five extra mouths. There comes a time when you go, this isn't my family anymore. It's not. This is not what my family was. And there are a lot of people who feel that way within society today. A lot of people feel that way within society today. I teach at Fulton College Prep. Last year we had a teacher retire after 30 years of service. By the way, my mother-in-law went to my school. It's hilarious. Because we went, when she died, we went through her stuff, right? We went you got to go through all the stuff and move stuff, right? I found a pennant that said Fulton on it when they were called the Steamers years and years ago. It was like really cool because I have it at school now and I have it and I use it every day. Okay? But 30 years ago, and this was a Chinese science teacher in our school. She'd been there for 30 years. She said, when I came here, the school was white. When I leave, the school is brown. Because 97% of my students are Hispanic. Where did all the white kids go? They went to private school. They left the area. Immigration changed that school in that way. And there are people in our society who are feeling that thing. When you have a lot of people who move into an area and take over an area, it changes the dynamic of the area. So they are going, what's going on here? What does God have to say about immigration? I'll share with you a passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. So Jeremiah, the prophet of God, is standing in the church of God, saying these words. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who came from these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the what? What's that word? Alien. If you don't, the first thing he says is don't oppress the alien. That's important. God doesn't want us beating on those who come into our world, the ones who are not familiar with us. Do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow. Do not shed innocent blood in this place. And if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. This week I have a beautiful young lady in my room. Her name is Ashley. Ashley's a senior this year. Ashley came to the country when she was 5 years old. Is she legal? Not at all. Not a chance. She's not legally in the country. That's the situation that she's currently in. She wants to go to college. And anybody in here going to college this year? Anybody know the date when you had to sign up and be done, ready to go? May, some of them April 20th, but May 1st, it's right now, right? She came into my room because I'm somebody that she can trust, and she said, I'm having trouble with all of this. And I said, what are you waiting for? Get signed up. Let's go. Get to the place where you can have a better life, a better scenario. We have a responsibility as Christians to help others no matter what the position they're in. Especially those who have come to our land because they are foreign, they are alien, they are struggling where they are. They didn't leave that land just because it was a nice place to be. They left that land because they needed to get something better. And some of you are familiar with this in your own families and your own lives and all those scenarios. Okay? But from my perspective, it's God's planet. And God made the people. And they should be able to live where they want. That's my perspective. I understand that immigration squeezes the resources of a country. I understand that. But we as Christians have a responsibility to love everyone. Everyone that you see, especially from a foreign country, is an opportunity for you to share Jesus. You might share Jesus with somebody from a country that will not allow Jesus in, and you may be the one that helps get Jesus in that country. Immigration shouldn't be as big a deal as it is. By the way, 5-year-old in our country, she's now 17. She's been here for 12 years. Why can she not be a citizen yet? Because nobody changed the law. Nobody worked on it. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, Republican or Democrat, nobody seems to care about this group of people that's been around for so long and never really did anything with it. The Lord says, protect the alien. So I'm just giving that to you. Talk a little bit about another issue. Sexuality is a big deal. And I'm not going to say anything significant about this except for what God's Word says and one statement. Okay? God's Word. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Everything is permissible for me. Through the grace of Christ, you have been given great freedom. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him spiritually. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's enough said on the Lord's behalf. If you've been convicted by it, deal with the conviction with the Lord. If it's made you think a little better, think a little better. But I'm going to say one quote, well, one fact that needs to be heard by every person in America. What is the number one country in the world with sexually transmitted diseases? Number one. You live in it. The number one country in the world for sexually transmitted diseases is the one you live in. So you tell me, are we living sexually correct or not? God's Word tells you what to live, how to live, tells you what you should do. Live that way. Live that way. Get yourself into a sexual purity mode because it's good for you and it's good for the country. So yesterday, I had fun yesterday. Yesterday, I worked at school and I was working at school for a couple hours. They gave us some extra time to go in on Saturday. And I got this wonderful phone call at 2:30 as I'm heading out the door. This phone call that I received was from my wife. My wife says, Wiley, her brother, they had a baby. It was glorious. So I popped into the office as everybody was coming in and I got to share that I'm an uncle again. Really, really excited about being an uncle. So they had a baby that was born yesterday. About 1 o'clock in the morning, his name is Riley. Name is Riley. Riley born to Wiley. They have a daughter named Kylie. It's true. It's all true. His wife is Crystal. I'm going, what were you guys thinking? I mean, we sort of have the same thing going on in my family because my wife is Carla. We have a Candace, we have a Kendra, and we have a Kendall.
And then there's me and Brittany. Sort of like, how'd that happen? But so I'm so excited that this little child was born. I got a chance to see him yesterday. I didn't hold him because I'm not feeling well. I'm a little sick, so I've been trying to avoid having contact with a newborn baby. But there's an issue in society today that continues to be one of these drivers between us, and it's abortion. Abortion is an issue within the context of our society that divides. It just massively divides us. And I understand that I will never, ever have to make this choice. I'll never have to make this choice about abortion. Why? I'm male. It's not a decision I'm ever going to have to make, is it? I'm not the one who's going to make that decision because I'm a man. Okay? I'm a man. I get it. And I get that most women who make this choice, make this decision, make this not like they're choosing an ice cream flavor, but because they are in the crisis of their lives. It is massively difficult for those women who have gone through an abortion, those you know, and you know them. Some of them may be in the room. And I'm not trying to put guilt upon or any of those things. I'm just trying to say, what does God say when it comes to this issue? And I want to share two passages of Scripture with you. One is out of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God says this of Jeremiah. Before he was a twinkle in his father's eye. Before that even transpired, God knew. God had a plan. Psalm 139 also says some wonderful words about those who are not quite here yet. Psalm 139, 13 through 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. God knows us before me. And some would say that a woman wants to have control of her body. And I understand that, but I firmly am convinced that the unborn child is just that, an unborn child. From the time, from me, and you can make your own decision, but from my perspective, from conception, a child is going to be a child. Nowhere along the line did my brother-in-law and his wife say that their fetus was doing lovely. Nowhere along the line in that 9 months of gestation, nowhere along the line did they say their fetus was doing just fine. They always said their baby was doing just fine. My four children always had this place that was our child. And yes, abortion is legal within the context of the United States. But if I take my 71 Ford truck and I run it into some Prius on the road and I kill somebody by my choice of shifting the wheel to the left, I've had complete control of my body, but I've killed somebody in the process. And I think abortion does this. So, I want to kind of finish with this. My daughter Brittany works at Starbucks. She's a manager at Starbucks. And she's been getting into significant conversations with people at work, talking about these issues that divide us and trying to find common ground
with folks. This division will only be won with words. It will only be won with words. You have to talk with those who aren't like you and share your views so that you can bring them closer to God's views. Please don't take your views and impose them on somebody else. Please take God's views and let them do their work. God's views, and the passage I gave you for Scripture are helpful for this. But don't forget the most important one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Number one. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Whenever you interact, remember these two things. Don't allow your opinion to get to the place where you destroy a relationship. Be patient. By the way, if you've gone through one of these issues and you're struggling because of it, if God has convicted your heart, ask forgiveness of Him. He can clean that up in a heartbeat. He can clean it up in a heartbeat. No matter what the situation is, no matter where you are within the context of this, God can bring forgiveness of heart. Enough said? I hope that I haven't hurt too many feelings this morning. It's not my goal, but my definite goal is that you would have some words with which to hang your faith on as you walk through a very divided time. Let's go to the Lord's Supper.